You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 29th of January 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Yes, it's that time again. It's the last day of the week and you know what that means? It means we have with us today Grandpa Dan. Grandpa, good day, sir. How the devil are you?
Well, I'd be a lot better if I was, you know, holding on to a bunch of GameStop shares, but alas, I guess it wasn't meant to be once again. But pretty good. Sitting here in awe that after the media has been telling us for months now that it's impossible for there to be any sort of election meddling or voter fraud take place because we have the most secure voting system in the world here in America. Today, we look at an article apparently to where we're being told that our system is actually so fragile that it can be brought down by an internet joke.
Well, it seems that electoral fraud can only go on when it's Donald Trump that actually wins the election, because what they're doing here is going right the way back to 2016 and going after somebody who hasn't even been in the news for the last 4 years. He lost his Twitter account, and I don't think anybody's heard of him since then, but he's now approaching celebrity status once again after being arrested for a meme. A right-wing social media influencer has been charged with spreading disinformation online during the 2016 presidential election to suppress votes for Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton, federal prosecutors said. Douglas Mackey, 31, known on the internet as Ricky Vaughn, is accused of anonymously conspiring with others to use Twitter and other social media to try to trick Clinton supporters to vote via text instead of casting an actual ballot. The alleged scheme amounted to nothing short of vote theft, said William Sweeney, head of the FBI office in New York City, where the charges were filed. It is illegal behavior and contributes to the erosion of the public's trust in our electoral processes. And just a little bit more detail here. The actual meme itself was aimed at black people, and it was sort of poking fun at blacks' intelligence, as if they would actually believe that they could vote by text instead of actually having to use a ballot. So it seems to me that the very fact that they've actually arrested the guy for this, I mean, that seems to me to be a little bit racist, because it's implying that black people aren't actually clever enough to realise that this was a joke. I mean, it is quite clear that this was a joke. And I think this is the first time that we've actually seen anyone arrested in America for a joke. But I think this is going to be the first of many now that we have this Democratic administration. They've probably been waiting to do something like this for the last 4 years. What do you make of this, Grandpa? Surely you must remember Ricky Vaughn. I know I do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And now we have already a precedent set. We have a precedent set that they can go back 4 or 5 years later and apparently prosecute you, for dank memes on Twitter accounts that you no longer have and haven't had for years. I mean, this is, it's. I realize we live in a post-legal society. I try to remind people that we live in a post-legal society, but I mean, they're going way out on a limb here. I mean, using terms like conspiring and scheming to, do all of the erosion of the public trust. Well, there is no public trust in the electoral process or any of these, basically the entire system anymore. But to use these specific terms of conspiracy, how are you going to prove a conspiracy? You know, hey, y'all retweet this. this because it's funny? I mean, how is this a conspiracy? How is this a scheme? These are very terms that, you know, if you're going to prove these in some sort of court of law, I have to think that, you know, the process itself is being used to basically punish the guy. I mean, I think he's out on, I think he had a $50,000 bond. We probably didn't have 50 grand laying around. That means he had to spend 5,000 of his own money to get a bail bonds to cover the rest. So he's already lost $5,000, which is no small change for most people. Now, and this is the process itself being used to punish somebody. And again, to punish somebody for jokes that were told on a Twitter account that hasn't existed for 4 years or whatever the case may be. I mean, now, I mean, obviously, they've been sitting on this for years, just waiting to drop the hammer. And now all of a sudden they're doing this. And again, as I kind of pointed out as we opened the show, you know, they've been telling us since November that it's impossible. Our voting system is just this rugged and durable thing. There couldn't be, you know, you might see these videos where they threw the the vote observers, the election observers out and boarded up the windows so they couldn't watch what they were doing as they unloaded boxes of ballots and in through the back door, you know, and you were told that none of that could be voter fraud or anything such as that. That couldn't be anything shady going on here. But now we have criminal charges being brought against somebody for a joke on a Twitter account that no longer exists.
Well, it makes me wonder, you know, how many other Twitter accounts that were removed years ago also have jokes on them similar to this that are joking around at, you know, making it appear as if people aren't bright enough to know that they can't actually vote by text. When you think about the way that things have moved forwards over the last 4 years. 4 years ago, you could see The Greatest Story Never Told on YouTube. You could listen to Stormfront on YouTube. Alt-Right Andy was posting all sorts of stuff on YouTube, and the algorithms would push people towards it. And on Twitter, you could say whatever you wanted. It was actually a proper free speech platform. Since then, they have removed all of this content. And I dare say that if you were to look at this content today, people might well be shocked. I mean, we talk about the idea that we move the Overton window towards the right, and we can now discuss things like immigration and Islamic terrorism, and is it a good idea to have so much immigration? All these sort of things we can now discuss in the mainstream narrative. But at the same time, things that used to be accepted jokes could now seem as if they're a little bit too much. I do wonder if we might actually see more people now arrested for things they may have said on Twitter years ago that they may not even remember saying. I mean, effectively, he's been arrested here for a joke that he told 4 years ago, a stale joke. At the time of the alleged fraud, Mackey had 58,000 followers on Twitter and was considered an important influencer in the upcoming election won by former President Donald Trump, prosecutors said. He had described himself as an American nationalist who regularly retweeted Trump and promoted conspiracy theories about voter fraud by Democrats. Now, how many millions of people actually voted for Trump? 70 million people, I think, in the 2016 election, and this guy had 58,000 followers on Twitter. I mean, it's a microscopic number of followers on Twitter. Even if every one of those followers had believed this joke, if they were black and they believed this joke and they tried to vote by text, it still wouldn't have had any effect on the election. And yet that's what they're alleging here, that this has eroded the public's trust in the electoral process. So they're also talking about him promoting conspiracy theories about voter fraud by Democrats. Well, hang on a minute. This is the one where Donald Trump won, not the one where the Democrats won. I think they've got 2016 mixed up with 2020 here, where they talk about voter fraud by Democrats. Grandpa, what do you make of this?
I find it breathtaking. I find it absolutely breathtaking that they sit here and say he promoted conspiracy theories about voter fraud when all of these charges are nothing but a conspiracy theory. They're promoting, with these charges, with this article, they're promoting the conspiracy theory that a guy with 50-something thousand followers who probably didn't, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say there probably weren't a lot of black people following Ricky Vaughn on Twitter, but they're saying they're promoting this conspiracy theory that this guy, you know, by posting a joke about texting your vote in for Hillary Clinton somehow affected the election and disenfranchised voters and eroded public trust in the system. It's an absurd conspiracy. One of the most absurd conspiracy theories I've heard since Flat Earth. Ooh, probably get some pushback for that. Flat Earthers are going to be emailing me, man. Let me tell you about how the ice wall or whatever, that you wouldn't fall off the fall off the end of the earth. But no, these charges are just nothing more than an outlandish conspiracy. They're just massive. The amount of projection here is utterly breathtaking. They're accusing him of promoting a conspiracy theory, but these charges themselves are an absurd conspiracy theory. Everybody knows this is a joke. Anybody that looked at this knew it was a joke. But now the chilling thing is they're saying they can go back on your old tree. Yeah, just imagine. So, and I'm sure lots of people are going out sitting here thinking, well, what kind of dank things did I say? Did I retweet this? Are people going to get in trouble now for having retweeted this? They were a part of the conspiracy. They were in on the scheme by, you know, retweeting this deal. And nobody even remembers. Imagine sitting around and somebody suddenly you're being charged and then you say, well, you made this statement to somebody 5 years ago. How do you explain that? You don't even know the context of it. It's 5 years ago. Who the hell even remembers? And yet this guy's being dragged through court. And even if he gets out of these charges, which, again, we're in a post-legal society, so anything goes. But even if we weren't in a post-legal society, and you sit here and look at these terms like conspiracy schemes, all of these things, you're looking like there's literally no way they can prove this in a court of law. Even if he gets out of it, it's going to cost him legal fees. We're talking tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees. Oh, he could do a GoFundMe. No, you can't do a GoFundMe. You can't raise funds because guess what? If you're against the agenda, you can't have a GoFundMe. You can't have a PayPal. You can't have Visa, MasterCard. You can't have anybody support you. You can't go online. You're banned off of every social media. So nobody can even organize to help cover your legal fees. The system itself can be used as a punishment, whether the charges stick or not. If, you know, they're going to cost this guy tens of thousands, probably financially ruin him. Who knows what he's doing now? He's apparently gone on with his life, I assume, but too bad. Now they're going to drag him in and make an example. And that's what it's about. It's about making an example. We can come after you at any time. This is to make all of the other people who didn't have 50 something thousand followers fearful. It's to make you fearful. We could do this. You could be next. You better watch what you say. This goes in line. You'd put it in the big picture of how they're promoting people snitching out their neighbors, snitching out their family members. Oh, I have a family member that went to the Trump rally. Oh, I have a family member that's against wearing masks. Snitch them all out. This is all part of instilling fear in the public. You go along with the agenda or you could be next. You could be the next one to get your life ruined. You could be the next one to be financially ruined. You could be the next one to get put all over the media as some sort of evil bad thinker who was apparently involved in a conspiracy, a very serious conspiracy to defraud Hillary Clinton out of votes with a joke.
It's incredibly malevolent, isn't it? I mean, they talk about conspiracy there as if, you know, a couple of hundred people might have not voted or sent a text. But what about the conspiracy to remove the New York Post during the recent election for a week because it had articles exposing Hunter Biden? I recall that there was a countrywide poll that was done that said if you had known about Hunter Biden's laptop, would you have still voted Democrat? And a massive percentage of people said that no, they wouldn't have done. And if they had known that, they would not have voted for Joe Biden. So what about that? That was a conspiracy there to remove something from Twitter, which had a verifiable effect on the election result. If they're going to go prosecuting Ricky Vaughan for this, is there not a case to make against prosecuting Twitter for doing exactly the same thing in the most recent election? Well, the complaint accused Mackey of working with four unnamed co-conspirators to spread disinformation, claiming that people could vote for Clinton by posting a specific hashtag on Twitter or Facebook, or by texting Clinton's name to a fake text code. One tweet he sent showed a photo of a black woman with a campaign Clinton sign, encouraging people to avoid the line and vote from home, it said. The post was retweeted 175 times, and there were at least 4,900 responses from phone numbers using the fake text code, including some people in New York, prosecutors said. Really? I mean, how do they know that that was people that weren't just typing that number in by mistake. I mean, I really doubt whether 4,900 people thought that they would be able to vote by text. I mean, it's rather like telling somebody that if they jump off a building, they'll be able to fly. It's quite obvious that you can't actually vote by text. And if anybody is dense enough to think that they can vote by text, then really that's their own responsibility. If somebody is telling an obvious joke, making an obvious joke, I mean, this was a jokey account that also poked fun at all sorts of things that were going on during the election, particularly the Democrat campaign. If people couldn't actually tell that was a joke, then, you know, that's their own responsibility, really. You can't really blame Ricky Vaughan for doing this. I mean, what are we saying? That people can no longer make jokes? So I guess it's just people that are on the right that can no longer make jokes. What do you make of this allegation here that all these people were actually taken in by this and used the fake text code, Grandpa?
I'm pretty sure Hillary Clinton carried New York, and I'm pretty sure she lost by more than 4,900 votes. So where's the victim here? Are they going to be able to actually track down the 4,900 people that did this and find somebody, anybody who said, yeah, I really thought I was voting and I missed out on voting? I mean, how are they going to actually produce a victim here? They're going to have to. If they're going to do this in court, even under this clown system that we have now, I would think that they're actually going to have to produce somebody. Now, they may can. They might can manufacture somebody. But I just find it. How much has been spent? How much money has been spent? They're going to have to track down somebody to say, yes, I was dumb enough that I thought I could actually vote by text. 4,900 people. How many of those people were just people going, well, I wonder what happens if I do text this, you know, just to see, like, what's the text code for? You know, where does it go to? Does it go actually to some place? Or, you know, they were just experimenting with it to see what would happen. We live in a post-legal society, but I don't see how they even prove any of this. It's just all nonsensical to claim that all of these people were somehow, that this was a scheme and a conspiracy to defraud people out of their right to vote. And I don't even think they can produce any actual victims here.
Well, it's quite clearly, it's just a joke, isn't it? It's a joke about black people's intelligence. And the fact is that because they have actually taken this seriously, this shows that this is the way that the prosecution service in America thinks about black people as well. It thinks they're not bright enough to realize that this was just a joke. The criminal complaint did not name Clinton as the targeted candidate, but Huffington Post previously reported Ricky Vaughan's account was controlled by Douglas Mackey, a supporter of Donald Trump who won the 2016 election. In October 2016, Twitter suspended Mackey's account for participating in targeted abuse, the court papers said. So the account has been gone for the last 4 years. I mean, who knows what's on it? How is he supposed to know what is on it? I mean, how is he supposed to prepare a defense when he can't even see the Twitter account which the alleged crime took place on? We can actually see what the meme was. I mean, it's been posted in the Daily Mail. Is this a banned meme? Are we not allowed to show this, or is the Daily Mail allowed to show it, but it's just that Ricky Vaughan is not allowed to show it? I think what this really shows is that anybody that supports Trump is now public enemy number one. We know that anybody that supports Trump is now a designated domestic terrorist, and we know that people that went to the perfectly legal Trump rally are now all being arrested. But this shows that they're going to go after people that supported Trump in 2016, I think. What do you make of this? What do you make of what they're saying here, Grandpa?
Well, they throw that out there. His account was suspended for participating in targeted abuse. Of course, they're not going to elaborate on that because it means whatever Twitter wanted it to mean at the time. But I guess the reader is supposed to come away with this notion that he was going around abusing people and just really being an all around bad guy. But what we see here, once again, is more projection. The targeted abuse here are these charges. Is this news story? This guy is the one who's the victim of targeted abuse. And it's plain as anything, as plain as day, I should say, to see that happening. And you're right. I mean, this is always going to be applied one way. I saw a story, not necessarily unrelated to this, but I saw a story. I read a story earlier this morning about, you know, Facebook. They set up this commission to, you know, independent commission to, or, you know, go over these people who's had accounts banned and, you know, who've had posts suspended. And one of the things they said was, well, one account that, you know, the ban was overturned by the commission had posted a quote attributed to Joseph Goebbels. And the person who had their account banned appealed to the board and told them, well, that quote, I was using it to compare it to Donald Trump. So that was the reason why they overturned the ban and said, yes, that's okay then. I mean, it's just, oh, okay, so you were doing it towards Donald Trump, so it's all right. So yeah, we'll overturn the ban. The targeted abuse is all going one way. We see it now, and I don't know how well they think this can play, because if they had done this several years ago when not everybody was being banned, you know, when they were just banning the people who were being purposely edgy. I know people like that. I might have participated in some edginess myself, but you know, that might have flown. But now they're doing this in 2021, when literally pretty much anybody to the right of Stalin has been banned off these social media platforms. Normal Trump supporters are being banned off social media right and left. Like you said, we have all of these normal Trump supporters that showed up in Washington being arrested for participating in this violent mob insurrection riot. And I don't think people by and large are going to look at this and read, except for true believing commies are going to read this and be like, oh, yes, this is a great thing. This guy must have really been evil and done some evil things with his joke about texting a vote for Hillary Clinton.
I like the way they talk about disinformation and saying that this was disinformation. If I remember rightly, back in 2016, there were all these memes being made of God Emperor Trump and showing Trump as an avenging angel or as a crusader. Is that what they mean by disinformation? Trump wasn't really the God Emperor. He wasn't really an avenging angel. I mean, that's got to be what they mean, isn't it? By disinformation that was put out there. It was just people making jokes. This was also the rise of Pepe back then. And there were lots of memes that were being put about to encourage support for Trump, basically. I mean, we could potentially see everybody that put out these memes being arrested and accused of promoting disinformation or using another social media network. Mackey wrote, "Don't worry, I will return to Twitter soon," and used an associate to establish another account, the paper said. Twitter worked closely with appropriate authorities on the issue, the company said in a statement. It's just incredible, isn't it? You know, what is Twitter really? Well, it's just a messaging app, isn't it? It's just like sending a text out, and that's how it began, really. It was just like sending a text out to anybody that wanted to read the text. And now we've got appropriate authorities on the issue. We've got people that are being banned from it. We've got special investigations to check that somebody isn't setting up another account after they've already been banned. It is so ridiculous the way things are going. I'm so pleased that Hungary and Poland have both spoken up against this. Poland has just brought a law in that says that if Twitter remove accounts and censor accounts that haven't actually broken any laws, they are going to be fined millions of dollars. And I would like to see more countries standing up and doing that. It's also come up in Russia recently as well, that Twitter have been censoring the people and organizations, people quite high up actually in the Russian government. So perhaps Russia will hit Twitter with these fines as well. But that might be the solution to this. If America is not going to take a stand to protect free speech, then we may see Eastern Europe actually fulfilling that role, which would be a very good thing. Grandpa, what do you make of these comments here?
They were working. I'm sure relieved to know that Twitter was working closely with the appropriate authorities on this very grave issue of somebody telling jokes on the internet. No, I mean, yeah, other countries are obviously going to have to, because, you know, Twitter, Facebook, all of these corporate entities, Wall Street, you can just lump it all together, and the government are all basically one entity. I mean, they're all just part of, you know, the oligarchy mechanism that rules this country. You know, you have these idiots. I don't know. They're getting fewer now and far between, because more and more people. But it's not the government doing it, so it's not an infringement on your First Amendment rights. But here you have Twitter working closely with the appropriate authorities on who they're banning, you know, for telling jokes. It's like if it's illegal to kill somebody, obviously, as it should be. Be sure and clarify that, because we do live in clown world. It's illegal to kill somebody, but it's also illegal to hire somebody else to go and kill somebody. If you hire somebody, you go and hire a hitman, and that hitman goes and kills somebody, you're not insulated. Like they catch the hitman, they're not going to be like, well, you're off the hook because you didn't actually pull the trigger yourself. No, you're going to get charged with murder too, because you hired a hitman to go do this in your stead. But somehow we have a situation where the government, you know, works with Twitter to get your freedom of speech shut down, but the government isn't responsible for your freedom of speech being shut down because, you know, the hitman did it. You know, the person that hired the hitman didn't technically pull the trigger on your freedom of speech. So somehow that's a-okay. We're seeing this, you know, this really, it's a really illustrative thing, I think, of the merging of government power, corporate power, how it all works together. You know, it all works together for the same goal. And it's just so brazen, it's so obvious and in your face now that I don't think anybody can even deny it anymore. And I think in the long run, I think they're taking a very bad road for themselves, because as more and more people check out of the system, they start looking for ways to, you know, okay, well, how can I stick my thumb in their eye? And we, of course, this latest, you know, they lost billions on this whole GameStop thing, which is a completely different subject. But that's an example of how when the people no longer view any of these system, any of the system as legitimate, they can start finding ways to very legally use their own rules against them and, you know, affect the system themselves.
Well, they used hate speech as the excuse for shutting down the GameStop thing as well, didn't they? They shut down the Discord server and said that that was for hate speech. It had nothing to do with the short sales that were going on and the crashing of the hedge fund. It was hate speech. And you just, hate speech is the catch-all excuse for everything now, isn't it? Mackey was expected to be released on a $50,000 bond following an initial court appearance in West Palm Beach, prosecutors said. A message seeking comment was left with his defense attorney. If convicted of conspiracy charges, Mackey could face up to 10 years in prison. According to the Southern Poverty Law Center, Vaughn has in the past openly supported hate groups and once appeared on white nationalist Richard Spencer's Radix podcast. Oh, well, he must be guilty then, because he's spoken to Richard Spencer at some point in the past. So what we're seeing here is that there is such a thing as conspiracy. There is such a thing as conspiracy charges. So why is it a slur to allege that something is a conspiracy theory? Conspiracy is a criminal charge, a very serious criminal charge. But to think that this guy has been forced to cough up with $50,000 just to ensure that he's not locked up in prison simply for telling a joke 4 years ago is absolutely ludicrous. And this is happening in the country that is supposed to lead the free world. And he could now be facing up to 10 years in prison for making this joke. I mean, this really shows you how vindictive and malicious these people are. Who do you think is actually behind this, Grandpa? Do you think it's Twitter? Do you think it's the Democratic Party? Do you think it's the FBI? Do you think it's Hillary Clinton? Is it black advocacy groups? Is it the Southern Poverty Law Center? Who do you think is actually behind this?
It's all of them, because it's the oligarchy. To steal one of Dr. Johnson's term, the regime. All of these things work for the regime. You hit on a very, very good point. I want to expand on that a little bit, Sven, is the conspiracy involved here, because this entire article is illustrative of this. We have the government working with Twitter and the media working along. And who do they go to for a quote? The SPLC is the go-to to say, oh, well, this guy is a hater and definitely promoting some hates. He talked to Richard Spencer one time on a podcast. I don't know that Richard Spencer's ever broken any laws, but it's practically criminal offense to go on somebody's podcast that's officially been designated as a hater by the SPLC. This conspiracy is very well spelled out. And no, it's nothing to do with a joke on the internet and, hey, let's retweet this. We have just a very clear illustration. You've got the media working with the government, working with Twitter, going to the SPLC to put this guy out $50,000 and, you know, for telling joke on an account he probably doesn't even remember. He probably, if he said, oh, well, we'll open your account so you can go in there and get your stuff for your defense, probably doesn't even remember the password. May not even have the email anymore that was for his recovery password. It's so old. And yet they're going back here. This is like retroactively going back and going after somebody. This is not a complicated case if they thought they had a real case. Why are they waiting 4 or 5 years to bring it? Oh, well, because Trump's not in there anymore, I suppose. But yeah, here they are. This is a very horrible conspiracy theory. And now all of a sudden, the Justice Department, the feds, these prosecutors are going after this guy for what everybody can see, anybody with any sense can see, is nothing more than a joke that was told years ago. But this is very much a conspiracy. And all of these groups are working together, and it's for the regime, it's for the oligarchy, and they're all part of the tools of the oligarchy. And, you know, this isn't so much, I don't think, about this guy in particular. It's about setting an example, because everybody who's sitting here, who's memeing back then, who's listening to this show, is now sitting here wondering, well, am I next? Am I going to be? And that's what they want. They want you to be afraid. They're trying to instill fear in you. They could come after you at any minute if they could go back and drag this guy's long banned account out to drag him through the court system. Then you could be next. And that is, it's all about instilling fear in the public. They have no legitimacy. They have no legitimacy. Nobody believes in the system. Nobody believes in the voting system. They don't believe in the government, the financial system. It's all a hoax. Everything in this country is a hoax. So now they're left with, because the people don't think the system represents them. They're correct in that. And they know that the whole thing's a hoax and a fraud. So now they're left with what? Ruling by fear. And this is about instilling fear in the people that you could be next. You could be the next one to be drug out, you know, financially ruined. Again, if the guy gets off on these charges, and Who knows if that's possible? I mean, if we weren't in clown world, it would be an obvious case that he would get off, because they can't prove any conspiracy or scheming or any of these other terms they're throwing around. He's going to be financially ruined regardless. The process is the punishment. And this is about instilling fear, because that's all they're left with. That's all they're left with to rule over the people. There's no legitimacy. Everybody knows voting is a waste of time now. It's all hoaxed. Everything's hoaxed. They can shut your business down in the name of the flu. They can do all of these things. So nobody believes in the system. They know Wall Street's rigged. They know the banks are going to get bailed out no matter what. And so now they're left with nothing more than trying to rule over the people with a sense, by using the sense of fear. And that's what we're seeing, I think, play out with this.
It's so vindictive, isn't it? I mean, they've already got the guy to lose his Twitter account. He's already been doxxed. He hasn't been online for 4 years. And yet you've still got somebody who is sat there with a grudge against him that wants to see him arrested 4 years later just for something that he said 4 years ago. I mean, it's such an unattractive trait for people to have, to hold a grudge like that for so long. There is no place in public discourse for lies and misinformation to defraud citizens of their right to vote, Seth Ducharme, acting U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York, said in a statement. With Mackey's arrest, we serve notice that those who would subvert the democratic process in this manner cannot rely on the cloak of internet anonymity to evade responsibility for their crimes. And of course, that's the bit that people need to take notice of, isn't it, really? This is why he says, we serve notice, those who would subvert the democratic process. And what he means by that is everybody that supports Trump. We are coming after everybody that supported Trump in the 2016 election, particularly those of you who posted dank memes. We are not having dank memes on the internet any longer. That's what this is telling us, sir. And I do hope the guy's all right. It sounds like he's probably posted this bond. He's already out there. He's already been doxxed. He's finding some more, another minute of spotlight, of fame, I guess. I just hope that he manages to beat this case. If he doesn't, then it will be a very, very sad day for America. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on this?
Well, the closing part of that article says it all. They're sending a message. And that is true. They are sending a message to everybody. We will come after you too. Fall in line. And as I just stated a while ago, this is about now they're left with ruling with things like fear, with brute force, with naked force. And that's all they left with, because there is no legitimacy left in the system. It's not even necessarily about being vindictive against this guy. It's about sending a message to everybody else. You better be afraid. We'll come after you. We'll come after you at any time if you are out of line. This is what they're left with. This isn't, you know, people see this and they might wrongly have this impression that, man, the system is just becoming so overwhelming, so overbearing and so powerful. But I see this as a system teetering, and they're worried about it all collapsing in on itself. It's desperation. It's desperate to go back and do a case like this to try to go after somebody over an obvious joke that's 4 or 5 years old. Is this project that they're confident in their position? Is this project confidence that they can continue to rule over the people without their consent? No, this shows that they realize on some level or another that they put themselves in a very precarious position. They're left with nothing now, nothing but brute force and fear. I don't think that can hold. I really don't. I don't believe they can hold the line with that for a significant amount of time.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.